Okay, we're here at, off 95 here in South Carolina. I'm trying to do open air preaching every day this month, since the beginning of the month. Great opportunity. As you look out here, there's lots of vehicles, lots of people traveling. Folks, we want to try to tell you how to have a happy new year. The way to have a happy new year is to go to Jesus Christ. He's the way to have a happy new year. He's the one. When you turn from your sins, you can have good cheer not only this year, but all throughout the next year and all the years to come, you can have a happy eternity. The way we do that, though, is Jesus said, He said, you got to turn from your sins. You got to believe on Jesus Christ. You got to deal with your sins. You know why we die? Well, we find that it says in the Holy Bible that the wages of sin is death. That's right. That's why we die, because of sin. It's not some evolutionary accident, but it's something that is a reality because of our sin, that we can kick and scream and fight all we want to. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. So you can fight and scream and all you what you want to do, but you're going to die just like God said you would. It doesn't matter how tough we think we are, or how cool and hip we think we are, or how tough we think we are. It's going to happen regardless. So we can act cool, try to ignore it, put your head in the sand, all those kinds of things. It's going to come back to bite you one day if you keep doing that. But it can come back and bless you. That's what I want. I want you to come back to bless you. I want you to be able to have a happy new year and a happy eternity. So that means you man up to the fact and you consider that you are going to die, that you're going to have to meet your maker. And by the way, some people, you know, it's in the vogue now that, oh, well, I don't believe in God, or I don't know if there is a God. All this kind of nonsense. You look at this building right here. This building is evidence that there's a builder. All these vehicles are evidence there's a maker. And the intricacies of your human body are evidences that there is a creator. That doesn't take much. Even a child can understand that. It doesn't take much. We couldn't have come by evolutionary accident. That's the most ridiculous, unscientific thing. Accident? Right. You call that scientific? So we have to ask the question. All right. I understand that. That makes good common sense. But the thing is, which God is it? Look at all the religions. Is it Allah? Is it God? The Holy Spirit and the Holy Son and the Holy Father and the Holy Trinity? Is it Buddha? Is it Hare Krishna? Which one is it? Well, you'll notice if you study it, and it is well worth your time, because you're going to spend eternity in one place or another. So it's a good idea that we study it out, because we're going to leave this world again, whether we like it or not. It doesn't matter how cool, hip, strong, smart, or whatever we think we are. It's really just a bunch of hype, and it'd be laughable if it wasn't for the fact that it's a serious matter, because we're going to have to spend eternity either in one place or another. It's either going to be heaven or hell. It's talking about eternal death or eternal life. That's why I feel impressed and compelled to tell you this, just like they did in the old days, just like John the Baptist did, Jesus did himself, the Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, Stephen, who wasn't even really a pastor, but he's just a deacon, because it's an urgent thing. And yet people are so apathetic and indifferent to the obvious reality that I'm going to have to leave this world anyway. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just raising my voice so as many people as possible can hear it, so that they can receive it, so they can believe it, because until you do that, you will still be in your sins. And you will go to hell according to the promise that Jesus made. Yes, he made promises, and he keeps his promises. One of those promises that he gives eternal life to everyone that believes on him. But his other promise is if you don't, You're going to go into condemnation. You're going to go into a place called hell where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. He said a number of occasions in Mark chapter 9. And so we want to tell you this so you don't go to that place. I tell you one thing, it's not going to be a happy eternity for you at all. It's not going to be a happy new year for you at all. If that would happen to you and you would depart from this world, just a couple days ago, just a friend of mine passed away. Went to the funeral earlier today over there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And we went there, and I never would have thought that this fella would, at the beginning of 2019, wouldn't make it through the year. But he didn't. 53 years old, wasn't that old guy. He had cancer. You know, these things can happen. It's not something that is unusual. As a matter of fact, our cemeteries testify to the fact that we will die. So why not investigate it? You know, some people spend more time figuring out how they can beat some stupid video game than they think about these kinds of things. Or they think about how to do whatever their hobby is, or to learn their job that one day they're going to have to leave anyway for all eternity. So it makes good sense to consider it. Don't worry about what other people are thinking, because they're not going to judge you. God's going to judge you. And that's what matters. And if they're going to ridicule you for this, then they're not too good of friends, really. Because you're looking out for your own self-interest, really. Because we're talking about your self-interest throughout all eternity. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. But Jesus said there, first time he used the phrase, be of good cheer, he says, first, he says, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Why is that? Well, this was a guy who was a paralytic. He was paralyzed. And some friends of his laid him down through the roof. If you're familiar with that, being in the Bible Belt, you might. But he was paralyzed. And yet, the first thing Jesus said was, your sins be forgiven you. Well, why would he do that? Because that man recognized that his biggest problem wasn't his paralysis. His biggest problem was his sin. Matter of fact, all calamities can be traced back to sin. Death itself, the greatest enemy, can be traced back to sin. We way too often throw money at problems, put band-aids on problems, instead of dealing with the source of the problem, and that is sin in our life. And whether it's your life or somebody else's life, that's just the bottom line. We're notorious as human beings to try to put band-aids on a problem instead of dealing with the source of the problem. Seems like it's easier at first, but it just doesn't produce the results that are necessary. And so Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee, to be of good cheer. That was the most important thing. And how does that happen? Now, I got good news for you. The bad news is, first of all, we're sinners. The bad news is, if in and of ourselves, we're going to hell. The good news is Jesus came to the world to save sinners. Now, how does he do that? Well, we find that the word gospel is a word that is mentioned in Romans 1:16 that means the power of God unto salvation is gospel. Well, what exactly is the gospel? The gospel defined is good news. That's good news. So, well, what is the good news? Well, we find that God has graciously defined it for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it says, defining the gospel, it is that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again third day according to the scriptures. Nothing short of a miracle. Now, first of all, Jesus fulfilled prophecies that prophesied thousands of years ago. Not only that, we still have the scriptures even today, as much as people hate the word of God. But the thing is, he did that according to the scriptures. Somebody might ask, well, what's so good about that? Somebody dying. Well, the good news is that he rose from the dead. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He conquered self, sin, and Satan for everybody that will believe on him. That's the good news, folks. That's something this world can't touch. When Jesus promises something, he delivers the goods. He delivers the goods. I'm telling you, number one, he delivers the goods. He didn't just talk about eternal life. He said, that if you come to him, he'll give you eternal life. But he didn't just talk about it. He proved it. He proved it when he went to the cross. When he went to the cross, he demonstrated his love. He demonstrated. He put his actions where his mouth was. And He died on that cross to pay the sin debt. He died on the cross and took the penalty of sin against all hell and all the punishment and all the wrath of God, so that he could pay the price of eternal damnation and hell for everybody that believe on him. That's the good news about what Jesus did. He conquered it for everybody but believe on him. And the beauty of that is that there's no contradictions. You see, God is holy and just. He must, to be a just God, he must execute justice. The wage of sin is death. And so God, so he doesn't contradict him. So this is totally logical and reasonable. That's the beauty of it. It's harmonious. In order to be able to extend mercy, justice has to be satisfied. And so when Jesus suffered on the cross, justice was satisfied for everybody that believe on him. And so that's the distinction between true Christianity and other religions. That is that the other religions say, well, you got to do so many good works, and I hope your good works outweigh your bad works. And problem is, who knows what every good work weighs in the balances and how much every bad work weighs in the balances to see whether you come off to be able to be a candidate for heaven. There's no religious book in this world that tells you that kind of nonsense, because it's just not true. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's according to the work of righteousness that Jesus did on the cross that we have eternal life. Through what Jesus did. Through what God the Son did. And that just makes all kinds of sense, because Jonah said that salvation is of the Lord. So again, if you want to have a happy new year, folks, and I want you to have a happy new year, I'm not just over here preaching condemnation, but you have to understand why a person is saved, what's the reason. Just say you got a Savior doesn't make sense unless you understand that you're a sinner and where that sin is going to take you, to hell, if you don't believe. The good news is, again, that Jesus came to save sinners. If you want a happy new year, if you want a happy rest of this year, if you want a happy eternity, you have to look to Jesus. You really do. Don't have a closed mind. Don't have a prejudiced mind against your Creator. That's the most ridiculous, foolish thing you could ever, ever, ever do. And this isn't by accident I've come here and been impressed to be here this day at this time. But the thing is that this is either going to come back and bite you and burn you, or it's going to come back and bless you. What I mean by that? I simply mean this. Jesus said there in Mark chapter 9, he said that hell is a place. He says to repent and believe on him, because hell is a place where the worm dieth not, he says in Mark 9. And the fire is not quenched. So you understand what I mean by it's either going to come back and bite you or burn you. Because the skin worms, that's right, there's a resurrection of the just and the unjust. The skin worms will continue to gnaw away at that body that's coming back to bite you. And then the burning part is that the unquenchable fire that's in hell come back to burn you. I don't want it to come back and bite you, and I don't want it to come back and burn you. But I want it to come back and bless you, that you will find eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. That's what I want for you. I want something to bless you. I want to give you some good news. This is free. This is something that can bless your family. It can bless the community. It can bless our country. This is something good, folks. I don't just have condemnation. I understand. I'm a human being like you, and I'm a sinner. But I know what Jesus has done. I know that Jesus delivers the goods. Yes, sir. Not only because he said that he gives eternal life, but he delivered when he died on the cross. He delivered when he laid down his life and gave himself. He delivered not only then, but we see there that after Christ died on the cross, people's lives were transformed. And I've seen down through time in my own life, and those of my friends that I used to hang around before God saved me, and we're nothing but party animals doing whatever we want to do. And I saw that was just a bunch of hype, and I know that God delivers. on his promises. He delivers the goods. He delivers the goods. And that he transformed lives. Because I've seen him change people's lives who were once alcoholics and are not alcoholics because of Jesus. Who were once drug addicts and no longer drug addicts because of Jesus. Yes, Jesus delivers the goods. He's not just all talk. We're not talking about a bunch of hype. But we're about talking about something that changes people's lives right now. And ain't no, none of one of us doesn't have problems. And we can act as cool as we want to. We know it's a lie. Yeah, we got our problems. And the only way that we can take care of those problems is the root cause of sin is to go to Jesus Christ to find eternal life. Again, he delivers. He changes people's lives. That's why I'm not ashamed of this message. That's why I'm not embarrassed about my God and my Savior. I'm not embarrassed of his message because I know what he's done for me. I know what he's done for countless numbers and multitudes of people down through time. I've seen people's lives change. And you can try to argue with that all you want to and say whatever. But I know I've seen people's lives change and families who were transformed as well. That's what God does. So we're not talking about something that's a bunch of hype. We're not talking about something that's a ripoff, by the way. It don't cost you nothing. Jesus paid it all. And so all to him I owe, as the old song says. I owe him my obedience. Because Jesus said in Mark 1:15 to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what John the Baptist did. That's what the Apostle Paul did. That's what the Apostle Peter did. That's what Stephen did. And down through time on up. To this very hour, people are preaching the gospel of Christ out in the open air. Jesus didn't say, go and invite them to church. No, that's, we got it all wrong. He said, go in all the world and preach the gospel. Even though they might ridicule you. Even though they might persecute you and hate you. Even though they might try to ignore you. It doesn't matter. They're obeying God. If you obey God, you're always successful. Every time you obey God, it's a success. It's something that you can be positive about. That's why I can tell you, I'm not here to try to condemn. I'm trying to give you and point you to the one who is life. He gives life, and he gives it more abundantly. Matter of fact, he says in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way, not a way. Because we see that Allah didn't come down here and try to lay down his life. No, and Muhammad didn't do it. And Buddha didn't do it because they didn't qualify. Number one, they had sin in their life. They're just, that, and Allah is just a figment of imagination. Sad to say. And I say that all in love because I could believe something too, depending on where I was raised. But what really matters is we're all in the same boat. But the thing is that Jesus is the way, the truth, the truth. Now, people say, well, what is truth? What difference does it make if it was truth? Well, I tell you what. I tell you, when you take a math test and you put 2 + 2 = 5, that's going to make a big difference, right? All right, well, this is even more important truth than mathematical truth. We're talking about spiritual truth. Jesus said that the truth will make you free. And he is the truth. So the implication is this. If you don't have the truth, you are in bondage. You're in bondage to sin. You can't help but sin every single solitary day. And that will eventually put you in the prison house, ultimate bondage, in the prison house of hell where all criminals against God's law goes and stays there forever. That's not a pretty picture. And when you understand that, when you think about it, if you're not afraid to think about it, come on now, let's be brave. If you're not afraid to think about it, you will understand. John the Baptist told the religious leaders, who told you to flee the wrath to come? Well, obviously he did. We have to flee it. You can't handle death. I can't handle death. Only Jesus has handled death and been victorious and rose again from the dead. Again, Allah didn't do that. None of these other religions do that. Only Jesus has done that. Only he has done that. He's the only one who qualified in that he was without sin, number one. Number two, he's only qualified to fulfill all the requirements of the Old Testament to be the Messiah. What I mean by that? Well, simply he was, John the Baptist called him, said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. What he's referring to is the fact that Jesus had fulfilled the messianic prophecies necessary. All those sacrifices were not just, had no meaning whatsoever, but it's pointing to the Messiah. And so Jesus was a perfect, that lamb had to be without blemish. That lamb had to be perfect. Couldn't have any kind of defects about it. It was picturing Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And so when he was sacrificed there at Calvary, we understand that he fulfilled those Old Testament prophecies. And so therefore he not only fulfilled the moral law, but he fulfilled the ceremonial law in the Old Testament. That's why Jesus, and only Jesus, that's why he is the way, not a way. And that's the beauty of it. That's who he is. Yes, ma'am. No, I appreciate it very much, but I don't take money. Okay.
Give it to somebody else.
All right, I'll give it to somebody else, man. I appreciate it. God bless you. God bless you. We'll give it to somebody else. Thank you, ma'am. Well, we got somebody with an open mind. We have somebody who understands, it appears, what it means to believe on Jesus Christ and trust in him with all their heart. And that's what it boils down to. I remember thinking, reading about the Ethiopian eunuch, and he wanted to be baptized. And Philip said, well, you have to believe with all your heart. You have to believe with all your heart. You just can't. Some people, they believe with just part of their heart. And how does that happen? Well, Jesus explained it in the parable of the sower and the seed. When he talked about the seed sown that was on the wayside, and the enemy came and picked it up. Speaking of Satan, people who don't even receive it at all, who ignore it. And Satan takes the seed sown in their hearts. But then we also find out that there was another one. The seed was sown on the rocky ground. That soul that had rocky ground. And when persecution came along, all of a sudden they weren't interested anymore. They never have real salvation. And then we have the other one that Jesus speaks of. Those that were sown among the thorns, and the cares of the world choked that word. They didn't have any fruit. So they weren't real Christians. But then the last one, it was the seed that was sown on the good ground. The seed sown on the good ground is that seed which produced fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. And that is a true believer that has the fruit of the Spirit. When their lives are transformed and changed. A lot of people like to hide behind hypocrites. Oh, yeah, but I know you Christians, you're a bunch of hypocrites and all this kind of stuff. You don't know every Christian. And besides, there's no perfect Christians here on earth. They're all in heaven. But I tell you one thing. Though I sin and I'm a Christian now, I don't sin like I used to sin because I hate my sin. That's the evidence of a person that is a believer, is that once I loved my sin and I made no bones about it, I'd sin right in your face just to be a troublemaker. That's just the way I was. I loved my sin. Now I don't. I'm ashamed of my sin. That's the difference. And there's fruit in the life. Like I said, when Jesus delivers the goods to save people's souls, what he does is that he changes their life. He not only saves their soul, he changes their life for the better. Don't believe for a minute anybody calls themselves a Christian and they still love their sin and they don't have any sorrow over their sin. They're just lying to themselves and everybody else, but they're not lying. They're lying to God too, but they ain't going to get away with it. So I encourage you to believe wholeheartedly. I don't know if you're going to make it through this year, what little bit's left. I don't know if you're going to make it through next year. Like I said, friend of mine's funeral I went to today. I never would have thought at the beginning of 2019 that he would die. But he died. We had the funeral today. And who would have known, 53 years old, that he would die already? And that happens all the time, unusual events like that. But bottom line is, we all got to go anyway. We can't take it with you. You know, so many Americans, sad to say, are so indifferent, so apathetic. And that's part of our problem. As long as we have our little toys, as long as we got food on our food in our belly and clothes on our back, and we got our house and we got our car and we have our enjoyments and hobbies, everything's fine. Well, the thing is, that's what Judah thought, that's what Israel thought, and the prophets told them and warned them, and they didn't listen. As long as they had prosperity, everything's good to them. Well, what eventually happened is they went into captivity. and we see civilizations over and over again. Roman Empire. We see civilizations, the Egyptian Empire. Look at it now. Not much of nothing, is it? But we're going in that direction. As long as we snub our nose at God, He will not bless this country. And that really makes me mad and sad at the same time, because I serve my country in the U.S. Army. And that really is something that perturbs me. But the bottom line is, whether this country has reached the end of its rope, there's not going to be more hope. We've reached a point of no return. I don't know. I know one thing. Jesus said to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that's going to happen. And so these other nations are going to have to be destroyed anyway. So are you part of God's kingdom? Are you a citizen of God's kingdom? If you're a citizen of God's kingdom, you're going to obey the Beatitudes. You're going to obey the Sermon on the Mount. You're going to have a life that shows that you are a child of God, a child of light, not a child of darkness. Sin equals darkness. Holiness equals light. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the light. Not only the life, not only the way, not only the truth, not only our salvation, but He is the light. And we have this time of year, of course, the time or holidays, the lights and all that stuff is over with now. And that kind of light needs a source of electricity. Well, Jesus is the source. He don't need no electricity. He's the one that created it. That's kind of interesting. People say, "Well, I can't believe in God because I can't see God." So, as for me, it's seeing is believing. Really? Is that right? Can you see gravity? You can't see gravity, but yet you believe in it. Can you see magnetic force? No, but yet you believe in it. And we go, law of friction, all these kinds of things. The evolution has a hard time explaining where in the world did that come from? How did that evolve? They can't. And they ignore the God factor. And that's very convenient. But the bottom line is that Jesus, He's the one that created this world. This didn't happen, again, by evolutionary accident. This building right here is proof that there's a builder. These cars are proof that there are makers. Your intricate body is proof that there is a creator. Which creator is it? Is it Allah? Oh, it's not? How do you know? Is it Buddha? No? Well, how do you know? Is it significant questions? Or is it the triune God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, I tell you, what all the difference is between all the major religions is that they believe that you can get to heaven by your good works. Well, you can't get there by your good works. The Bible says explicitly that it's not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us. You see? And besides that, Islam says your good works have to outweigh your bad works when you stand before Allah. But the problem is that religion, all other religions that base their belief on getting to heaven by good works, there's nothing that tells you how much does helping an old lady cross the street weigh on the good side of the balance? How much does lying weigh on the bad side of the balance, so you know whether or not you're a candidate for heaven? None of the religious books tells you that. You know why? Because it's a lie. It's by the work of Jesus Christ. Yes, God the Son. He paid the penalty so that everyone that would believe on Him should have everlasting life. It's by His work. After all, it says that salvation is of the Lord, not by us. Not by us. And that doesn't mean that, okay, well, I said my prayer and so I'm going to heaven, so I'm going to live any way I want to. No, 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 no. When God does a work, He does a good work. When He does a work, He does a work that changes you for the better. He does a work that will help you so that you can enable you and empower you so that you can live the life, that your life is going to be totally different than it was before. Well, you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, even though it may be rejected, even though it may be ridiculed. What's most important when you become a believer is that you obey God and you don't fear man. You fear God. Because man's not going to be able to judge me. Not going to judge anybody. Only God's going to be the judge. And so I want you to come to terms with that. To come to grips with that. And I'm telling you, as a fellow human being who was once in my sins, and I was a horrible sinner, but one sin already qualifies us to be a horrible sinner, because we sin against the goodness of God and all the wonderful gifts He gives us. And if we snub our nose at the giver of every good and perfect gift, it's not going to fare very well when we stand before that God. When we stand before the one that created us. Think about that. We're talking about your eternal destiny. Again, as a fellow human being, as a fellow sinner, not a holier than thou. I know from whence I came. And I was pretty much of peasant stock, really. I wasn't born in royalty, nothing like that. I lived in a lower middle class family, grew up that way, and I was an awful sinner. But as a fellow human being, and I love my fellow human beings, because I know what it's like to go through trouble. It ain't no fun. I know what it's like to make mistakes or sin, and there's nothing you can do to change it. That's a horrible, helpless feeling. But I have the hope for you, the hope of glory, the blessed hope that's found in Jesus Christ. You can have the comfort in the new year and the rest of this year. You can have the comfort that all things are working together for your good. That's what it says in Romans 8:28. That's for all those that love God and who are called according to His purpose. Well, a lot of times people just very flippantly and lightly say, oh yeah, I love God. Of course I love God. Well, really? Well, what did Jesus, he explained to us what exactly it means to love Him. He says that if you love me, keep my commandments. Not just ones you like to keep, but all of them. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I just tell you right now, there's not a one of us who loves Jesus like we should. Not a one of us. Matter of fact, if all we do is sin, we've never repented of our sins and believed on Jesus, we hate Him by our actions. We can talk all we want to, but by actions we say we hate God because we flip our nose at His commandments, at His word. Now, you all are pretty passive over here. I've had people charge at me and threaten me, want to jump out of the car and whoop on me. But still, there's a rejection of the word. We've had a few people come and listen and seem to be receptive. We had another lady come up. Very few in America. So I can't believe that God's going to bless America as long as we snub our nose at His word. I mean, let's look at the reality. Let's don't pretend that it's going to be okay and everything's going to work out. We have been blessed with an extended season of no wars on this soil. But we're headed for that as long as we keep going. Look at our country. Look at Virginia. They're going to try to take the guns away, and all these counties are being Second Amendment sanctuary counties. There's going to be some trouble, I'm telling you. No matter who gets elected for president, there's going to be trouble. There ain't people who are not going to be happy. Will you be ready? This country may not ever be the same again after that. But besides, we're going to leave anyway, right? We're going to leave our vehicles behind. We're going to leave our houses behind. We're going to leave our families behind in death. What you going to do when you stand before your Creator? Are you going to be ready? Are you going to be able to... here's a good test. When you die, notice I said when, not if. When you die, and Jesus, and you go out through heaven, and Jesus would say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? What would you say? That's a tough question, but it's a legitimate question. Most people will say, well, I tried to keep the golden rule. I tried to do my best or whatever. They're always talking about me, and what they did, what they've done, and so on. But it's not by our works. The only thing we can say is, Lord, I don't deserve to go into your heaven because I'm a sinner. But I am falling upon your mercy that you showed at Calvary on your work to get me into heaven. I'm trusting in you. That is the answer. When you believe that in your heart and you don't just mouth it with your lips, that is the answer, that is the indicator that you're ready to go from death in this life to life eternal with Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thank you for listening. I know I had a captive audience.